WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and thank you for spending some time with me today. First, this is a warning. We will be discussing last night's Game of Thrones finale. Spoilers. I'm going to spell the word to give you time to make adjustments as necessary. S-P-O-I-L-E-R-S. Okay, here we go. Last night saw the end of a television series that has captured the imagination of viewers around the globe for nearly a decade. Game of Thrones is officially over, and the winner is Bran Stark. Not exactly the expected outcome, and some fans feel a little bit cheated by how it all went down. But no matter how you feel about Game of Thrones, one thing is for sure. The show fundamentally altered viewers' expectations for the scale, ambition, and quality of television. Here to break down the show's final season and the legacy of Game of Thrones is Atlantic culture writer David Sims, Vanity Fair television critic Sonia Soraya, and our own Ben Yakis, arts editor for Gothamist. Welcome all. And I understand that you guys have probably all been up all night watching Game of Thrones, so we appreciate you making the time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
David, you wrote that, quote, you felt battered into submission by the final season. How does that feeling apply to the finale?
The finale, I've spent most of the season being a little baffled by the flow of the narrative. At times it's been sort of incredibly slow, and then sudden plot developments would just sort of mount up minute by minute to get things back on track and get things towards this finale. And it was just so much information in so much little time that by the time we got to last night's episode, I was really just in it to find out where all the pieces were going to fall. I could barely engage with it as a story. I was more just like, well, tell me where you think this is ending.
Sonia, you tend to take a more feminist angle on the show, and viewers have been quick to note that after all this buildup of Dany being the savior of the realm, that she turns into be this mad queen, and Westeros goes back to being ruled by white men. What does this ending ultimately say about female rulers in the world of Game of Thrones?
Well, I mean, the show is critical of all kinds of rulers, but I think that the female characters in the show were always made such a compelling story because they did live in this really dangerous and violent world that was so inhospitable to them. I mean, Game of Thrones is a man's world. And I think that Dany's storyline, like, I can see what they wanted to do with it by the finale, but I just wasn't with them for the final season. I think that there's so many interesting things that the showrunners are trying to say about violence in this world and what it means to be a ruler. But, you know, they sort of had to make her into kind of just a crazy person in order to make their story work. And that's not exactly the most satisfying thing.
Ben, what are some of the questions you're still left with after the finale?
Well, there's silly things like who was braiding Dany's hair after her best friend was killed, because that was one of her responsibilities all these years. And, like, you know, we sort of are left a little bit like, can Bran see the future? Did he know all this was happening coming? But I think the number one thing for me is I'm wondering how much George R.R. Martin is sticking to these kind of plot points and these destinations when he is writing the books and finishing them, and how different the novels are going to be compared to what we saw on the show. And whether he's using it like a litmus test to see, he's in a very unique position where he gets to see how people react to some of his plot points. And then if he wants to adjust it right now, he could. I mean, this is a work in progress. This is not set in stone.
So because I have not watched all 8 seasons in the way that you folks who have, especially Ben, I cede the rest of my time on the floor, the remaining 5 minutes, to the good Ben Yakis of Gothamist. Ben, I'm going to let you go for the granular.
Well, it's very fun to talk to other critics about this, because this was the most fun show to talk about. So, David, we were always wondering, critics and fans alike, there's a very polarized feelings and reactions to this final season. And what was it about this final season that you think really drove so many people apart about this show?
Well, I think it's what you're talking about in terms of George R. R. Martin's outlook at this point as well, which is we've come to love this gigantic ensemble of characters and the way in which the show can sort of subvert our expectations over and over again, killing off heroes or redeeming villains, things like that. But you have to assume that at some point the writers sat down with George R. R. Martin, as they've said they did, and he sort of gave them the general idea of like, well, I want everything to kind of end up here, here, and here, and maybe these are some sort of general plot points to aim for. And these last couple seasons have felt like we've switched out of the very expansive storytelling and into this on rails slog to sort of get everyone where they need to be to wrap things up. Mm-hmm. And Martin never got to that. Maybe he will when he finally completes his series, but maybe that's that sort of on rails, boring, you know, completionist sort of storytelling is what's been holding him up for so long.
And I mean, I don't imagine that George R. R. Martin is going to necessarily have Varys invent time travel the way that the show did. So yeah, that is going to be really interesting. And along those lines, Sonia, I have found that the pacing is one of the things that was the hardest thing about these last two seasons. Do you think that if they had given over more time to these two seasons, 10 episodes, let's say, instead of 6 and 7, that some of these problems could have been solved just by having a longer full-length season?
I mean, it wouldn't be a panacea exactly. Like there would but I think that it would give us the room to do some of the things that felt like they were missing. Like, so for example, in this finale, one of the things that was really satisfying about it was that we saw a lot of characters have like private emotional beats. I mean, I haven't liked the way that Dany's character's been handled in this season, but I really loved the scene where she was alone in the throne room with mm-hmm. the Iron Throne and that yeah. ash was falling down. And of course, it's a reference to a vision she had in season 2, I think. But it's also just, it's her interior life. Like, we're seeing her relationship to this. And I think that just because the show was trying to do so much in this season, I felt like they were kind of throwing darts at, like, the points that they were trying to get to and just without doing the stuff that might emotionally bring us on that journey with them. So more time would have absolutely given us at least a little bit more time with these characters in what is such a climactic season where so much happens.
Yeah, I imagine that there's a version of this show where season 7 built up to the war against the White Walkers. And then the final season, we only dealt with Dany and the politics and the fallout and all of that. But, you know, this show was not just season 8. This was 8 long years filled with tons of storytelling and tons of characters. So, David, what's a moment from the show's 8 seasons that illustrates Game of Thrones at its best?
It's a good question. I think that the show was always at its best when it was giving you what you thought you wanted, like... one of my favorite moments when Daenerys makes the trade for the Unsullied back in season, I want to say three or four.
I think that was season 3. Yeah.
Which involves handing over her dragon and then, you know, sort of flipping the script and killing the slave trader that she was making the deal with. So it's giving you this big triumphant moment with this sort of hint of darkness and, you know, kind of mixed morality as she's sort of marching through a city and capturing it and, you know, setting it to the sword. And that's the kind of thing that I felt like the later seasons sort of couldn't play in. Like they forgot the kind of ambiguity that made the show so much fun mm-hmm. in those earlier years. And had to just drive home things like Daenerys, you know, torching King's Landing as a sort of personal vendetta just to then justify what's going to happen next week. Everything suddenly felt very preordained and the characters were behaving out of character just to sort of explain what's going to happen next.
Ben, I'm reclaiming my time to quote somebody. Sonia, what is the legacy of Game of Thrones in terms of the entire television landscape?
Oh, well, I mean, it's really changed our notion of how much we can spend on a TV show and how big and how ambitious it can be with its storytelling. You know, Game of Thrones put so much effort into these huge battle scenes. They did all kinds of location shoots. They cast such a huge range of people. I mean, it was such a big endeavor, and I think that it really pushes the boundaries of what we can expect out of a TV show that we watch every week, that we can expect these like really like big budget blockbuster production values when we sit down through it. And you know, it also, I think, ushered in a real streaming era. I mean, I feel like it started as this thing that you watched on HBO, and as the shows evolved, it's like HBO Go, HBO Now, downloading it illegally online. Like, this is it was an internet phenomenon, this show, watching it every week and filing our hot takes as the show progressed. It was such a big sea change, I guess, for that reason.
David Sims, Sonia Soraya, and Ben Yakis, guys, thank you so much for our Game of Thrones wrap up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get some sleep, Ben.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.